Grace, mercy, and peace be with you, from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning we turn our attention to the Gospel of St. Mark, the 7th chapter, beginning with the 14th verse as follows, reading this morning in the English Standard Version. And he called the people unto him again and said to them, Hear me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going into him can defile him. But the things that come out of a person are what defile him. And when he had entered the house and left the people, his disciples asked him about the parable. And he said to them, Then are you also without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into a person from outside cannot defile him, since it enters not his heart, but his stomach, and is expelled? Thus he declared all foods clean. And he said, What comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person. So far, the Holy Word. In the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who said, Unless I wash you, you have no part with me, dear fellow redeemed. This week a news item appeared about a young football fan who was worried about his heart. Ivan Applin, a 10-year-old from Toledo, Ohio, was scheduled to have open-heart surgery at the University of Michigan Medical Center, and he was terrified. But it wasn't the procedure itself that scared him, according to his mother. She said, He asked me if the Michigan doctors were going to make his heart love the University of Michigan instead of Ohio State. But his mother reassured him. And when the surgery, which was a success, was over, sure enough, young Ivan was still a Buckeyes fan. Kind of a charming story, but it points up an important fact about the human heart, and that is that it is central. The condition of the heart is central to who you are as a human being. Even children recognize that. There's also a lot of misunderstanding about the human heart, however. There are a lot of people who say that you should always follow your heart, and if you do that, you can never go astray. This morning, our Lord Jesus tells us just about the opposite of that. When it comes to the most important issues in life, especially when it comes to how to be clean and justified in the eyes of God, then you'd better not rely on your heart. That's why our theme for this morning is, Only Christ can make you clean. The human heart is desperately dirty, but the gospel of Christ provides perfect cleansing. Americans are almost obsessed with hand washing. Have you noticed that? I was thinking about it yesterday when I was at the hospital, and I noticed how all the medical personnel nowadays are required to use hand sanitizer as they enter and leave a patient's room. We all wash our hands almost incessantly with antibacterial soap. We have hand sanitizer on our counters and in our cars. Do you know where we got that custom, by the way? We inherited it from ancient Israel. The Jews alone among the ancient Near Eastern cultures placed great emphasis on a very fastidious washing of the hands before meals, so much so that they gradually came to regard it as a religious duty. And that's what made the Pharisees so upset when they noticed in the portion just prior to our text for today that Jesus' disciples hadn't washed their hands before eating in exactly the way that the law prescribed it. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked Jesus, Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? He answered and said to them, Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And that's what leads us into our text for today. There's this huge conflict between Jesus and the Pharisees, and at first glance, it seems like it's all about hand washing, of all things. But it's not, really. It's about what makes a person acceptable before God. It's about what renders, in God's eyes, a person pure or impure, clean or unclean, saved or damned. The Pharisees said that only a meticulous keeping of all the outward rules and regulations would save a person. All the rules and regulations that they, of course, had laid down. They thought God would accept them if they washed their hands in a certain way, if they counted their steps on the Sabbath day, if they said the same prayer 50 times in a row, and especially if they regulated what kind of food they ate and didn't eat. Beef, yes. Pork, no. Fish, yes. Eels, no. If you ate the wrong things, you'd be defiled. You would be ritually impure, unacceptable to God. Jesus said they had it all wrong. He called the people to him again and said, "Hear me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going into him can defile him, but the things that come out of a person are what defile him." This is a huge change. What kind of physical food you eat doesn't make you morally clean or unclean before God, Jesus said. His disciples were completely bewildered by this. So when they were alone with Jesus, again, they asked him about it. And he said to them, "Then are you also without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into a person from outside cannot defile him, since it enters not his heart, but his stomach, and is expelled?" Physical food can't make you clean or unclean, Jesus said, because it goes in your stomach. It completely bypasses the one organ of the human body with which God is concerned, and that's the heart. When it comes to the heart, only Christ can make you clean. And boy, do we need cleansing, because the human heart is desperately dirty. Jesus said, "What comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person." Here's what really makes you unclean, Jesus told them. The sinful thoughts and actions that come out of your own heart. The Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind. One writer said that this dreadful list Jesus gives of these sins and these vices reads like a list of crimes from a modern police court. But of course, by modern, he was talking about the time in which he lived, which happened to be the early 20th century. Now, in the early 21st century, not only are many of these things no longer crimes, they're commonly accepted as part of our society and even celebrated by the wicked society in which we live. How else do you explain the legalized murder of over 3,000 children every day through abortion? Legitimized adultery, living together outside marriage, even the so-called same-sex marriage, these are no longer exceptions, but the commonly accepted rule, demonstrating once again that the human heart is desperately dirty. Paul's description of first century Roman society sounds hauntingly similar to America in 2015. He wrote, "Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind, to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but but also approve of those who practice them. Of course, it's all too easy for us Christians to point the finger at other people, as if all the deceit and wickedness and sin lies in other people and not in us. If we do that, we're no better than the Pharisees. In fact, we're a lot worse than the Pharisees because we know better. Christ has shown us that hateful thoughts are just as sinful as murder, that lustful thoughts are as condemning as the act of adultery, that covetous and greedy thoughts and envious thoughts are just as bad as the outward act of theft. And we don't have to look very far to find those sins, do we? They're right here in our own hearts. And as they say, when you point the finger of accusation at someone else, there's three more pointing straight back at you. Or as Jesus put it even better when he said, "Why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not perceive the plank in your own eye? Or can you say to your brother, 'Brother, let me remove the speck that is in your eye,' when you yourself do not see the plank that is in your own eye? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck that is in your brother's eye." You need to be right with God. It's your heart that needs to be cleansed, first of all. And when it comes to the human heart, only Christ can truly make you clean. Here's the good news. The cleansing that our Savior offers us is not partial. It leaves no stain behind, for the gospel of Christ offers perfect cleansing. If you glance through the 9 verses of our text for today, you might be led to think that the whole thing is law. Nothing but a scathing condemnation of the kind of sins that flow out of sinful human hearts like yours and mine. But there's gospel here too. And for that, I'd like to take you back to the first verse of our text, verse 14. Jesus called the people to him again and said to them, "Hear me, all of you, and understand." If the disease is listening to our own sinful and corrupt human hearts, then the cure lies in listening to the pure gospel of our Savior Jesus. Jesus called the people to him. What compassion. He doesn't abandon them to the false notions of the Pharisees. He doesn't leave them languishing in the erroneous teaching that people could be saved by the external keeping of rules and regulations. He told them the truth, as only the Son of God could. True understanding comes from the Word. Real cleansing comes from believing the gospel of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ alone. Paul put it concisely in his sermon to the people of Antioch. "Therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man, Jesus, is preached to you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, everyone who believes is justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses." It's not an outward keeping of the law that makes us clean. Thank God for that, because none of us have kept God's holy law, even outwardly, let alone inwardly. No, only Christ can make you clean. And once again today, Jesus calls poor lost sinners like us to himself. Once again, he says, "Hear me, all of you, and understand." Understand the way to be truly clean. Bring all your sins in repentance to me, and wash them away in the blood I shed for you on Calvary's cross. In his tenderest voice, Jesus invites you again today. "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." For you see, only Christ can make you truly clean. In one of the best beloved and most often memorized passages in all of Scripture, the Apostle John said, "The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." From all sin? Even from that secret sin that you've been carrying around on your conscience all this time? Even from that thing of which you're so ashamed? Yes, that's exactly what the gospel is saying to you today. In your Lord Jesus, you have perfect cleansing. You couldn't keep the law of God, so Jesus did it for you. in your place. You couldn't atone for a single day's worth of sins, let alone a lifetime's worth. So Jesus did it for you. He carried your sins and the sins of the whole world up that last lonely hill of Golgotha. And there he offered an atonement that is perfect and complete. Now, not a single one of your sins remains to be atoned for. Not one thing stands between you and eternal life, a life of perfect bliss that will go on forever and ever and ever. For Paul says, you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Speaking of cleaning, here's one for you homemakers. There's a widely recognized principle of chemistry called Imbezi's Law of the Conservation of Filth. It states that for something to become clean, something else must become dirty. But Freeman's extension to that law states that it is possible to get everything dirty without getting anything clean. Whoever Freeman was, I don't know, but I suspect he had small children in his household. Counterintuitive as it may be, this morning we've learned that there is a way for a person to become completely clean without leaving anything behind that is dirty or corrupt. There is a way, but only one way. Only Christ can make you clean. The human heart is desperately dirty, but the gospel of Christ provides perfect cleansing. God grant that we may rest our souls in the perfect cleansing of our Savior Jesus' blood until that day when we meet him face to face in paradise. Amen.